Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We'll be in-depth on the Attorney General on criminal justice reform, but first to the conservative view from the opinion pages. Georgetown law professor William Otis writes in a USA Today op-ed that Americans can't be certain of special counsel Robert Mueller's objectivity. Mr. Otis is a former federal prosecutor and a former special counsel for President George W. Bush, and he joins us today from Falls Church, Virginia. Bill, welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You say in the piece that it's Mueller's close association with former FBI Director James Comey that concerns you. I wonder if you have any evidence yet of Mueller's questionable objectivity. Anything that you can be concerned about so far?
Yes, there is. It's pretty well known that Mueller and Comey have been friends and professional allies. And there was something in particular that I just saw this weekend when you might remember that President Obama named Jim Comey to succeed Mueller as head of the FBI.
Uh-huh.
And when the president introduced Comey at a White House ceremony, Mueller was there. And I noted in particular that Mueller said this: "I want to commend the president for the choice of Jim Comey as next director of the FBI. I've had the opportunity to work with Jim for a number of years in the Department of Justice, and have found him to be a man of honesty, dedication, and integrity. His experience, his judgment, and his strong sense of duty will benefit not only the Bureau, but the country as a whole." Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with having friends in Washington. And I also want to make clear, I don't think that Mueller is anything but a man of integrity, has a long and credible record as a public servant. The problem is not with Mueller per se. The problem is his relationship with Comey, who is likely to be a principal witness, probably the star witness in any obstruction of justice case that the special counsel might want to make against President Trump. And under the ethics rules that govern the Department of Justice, including the general counsel, that is very problematic.
And the reason that it may be problematic, in your view, is that he is likely to put more weight on what James Comey says than what people that might have different views of what actually happened.
I think it's that he is unable to be objective and arm's length in evaluating Comey's testimony, his credibility. And we ordinarily require, and for good reason, we require prosecutors to be objective in that way. And that's why the ethics rules are written the way they are. What they say, and I'll just be very brief here, is they disqualify a prosecutor, and I'm quoting now, from participation in a particular investigation or prosecution if such participation may result in a personal, financial, or political conflict of interest or the appearance thereof. And then it goes on to define a personal relationship as meaning a close and substantial connection of the type normally viewed as likely to induce partiality. Now, from the quotation that I started off with when Mueller was praising Comey, I think it's clear that he is partial toward Comey. And in a sense, I don't blame him for being partial toward Comey. Again, it's not any ethical problem with Bob Mueller or Jim Comey as human beings. It's that a long pre-existing relationship has simply made it not realistically possible to think that Mueller can be as objective and arm's length in assessing Comey as a source and a witness as under the ethics rules prosecutors are required to be.
And the fact that even from Republicans who seem to have doubts about this idea of obstruction of justice and President Trump, there has been a lot of praise for Robert Mueller. I mean, I do not see very many opinions out there that agree with yours that we can't trust Bob Mueller. Again, with the caveat that you say he's a man of integrity. But there are not very many people saying he's too close to Comey and we can't trust the way he's going to handle this.
Well, again, I would just take his own words when he appeared at the White House ceremony, when he said that he thought very highly of Comey. He thought highly of his integrity and honesty. He used that word directly. And I may share the same opinion of Comey. Indeed, I myself was a colleague of Comey for several years when we were assistant U.S. attorneys together. So again, this is not personal to either man, to Mueller or to Comey. It's about a relationship that under ordinary rules that apply to everyone in the Department of Justice just create too much room for doubt about Mueller's objectivity in this one particular instance.
Okay.
To kind of sum it up, I think Bob Mueller is the right man, but in the wrong job in this particular instance.
You're listening to a conversation with Bill Otis. He's a former federal prosecutor and wrote a USA Today op-ed in which he expresses the view that Americans can't be certain of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's objectivity. He's a Georgetown law professor, and we're having a conversation about that op-ed. As I mentioned, you were a former special counsel for George W. Bush. Do you have the sense that there are strict limits or parameters around Robert Mueller's inquiry, or does he have a lot of latitude?
I have not read the order appointing him. Historically, special counsels, and when we had independent counsels back in the 90s, they have had considerable latitude, and they are permitted under their appointment to go into any area where the evidence may lead them.
And do you think that's as it should be, or does that concern you?
That is a great question, and there are two sides to that argument. You may remember that the independent counsel statute under which Ken Starr was appointed was allowed to lapse. Congress did not renew it. The reason Congress did not renew it is that there were questions among both Republicans and Democrats then, because President Clinton had been the target of Ken Starr's investigation, that what you have when you have a special counsel is you have a pre-selected defendant, and then all the incentives are for the special counsel to build the evidence to get that defendant. That's not the way we expect prosecutions to work. Ordinarily, we expect prosecutions to work the other way. That is, that the prosecutor follows the evidence and finds the defendant at the end of the trail rather than the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other side of that argument in favor of having a special counsel with a broad mandate and considerable powers to explore is that if you give an investigation like this, it's a politically loaded investigation, over to the career attorneys at the Department of Justice, many of whom are highly skilled, it's not their competence that's in question, it's that they would be subject directly or indirectly to political pressure to find in favor of the administration in power. And for that reason, it should be taken outside the Department of Justice. So there are actually legitimate arguments on both sides of this question.
I am struck by the way you phrased the first side of that argument, which is incentives to get that defendant. What are the incentives? I thought the special counselors were coming in with, you know, what we presume to be a truly objective investigation, that they're not, that it doesn't behoove them to then bring some kind of judgment against the defendant. Is that not right?
I think sitting where they're sitting, they understand that they have their jobs, and Bob Mueller wouldn't understand that he has his job, to investigate a particular matter, and let's be honest, a particular individual, Donald Trump, as to whom, you know, serious allegations have been raised of misbehavior, that he asked Mike Flynn, then the National Security Director, to ease off or to stop. It's not clear what exactly, and that's why Comey is such a key witness to ease off the investigation of Flynn's possible contacts with Russia. And also, the circumstances of Comey's having leaked his notes to a private party, his notes of that conversation, to a private party, Professor Dan Richmond of Columbia Law, while he was still an officer of the government. When you're in the special counsel's position, I think you don't want to just come before the public, you know, 5 or 6 months later and say, well, sorry, guys, we spent a lot of money and we examined a lot of people, and there's really nothing there. With kind of the hydraulic pressure of a fellow who's a prosecutor is to vindicate the judgment that led to your appointment. That's just a natural human tendency.
Huh. So if you, knowing what you know with your experience and your observation of this, it sounds like you would say, whether he would admit it or not, Robert Mueller is going to feel pressure to come up with something that would then be taken to Congress. Is that how this works?
I think he would feel pressure, and where this would go is another very good question. There, constitutional scholars have been wondering for years whether a sitting president can be indicted and can face criminal penalties, or whether the only remedy for very serious presidential misconduct is impeachment. I think there are two sides to that argument, too. Historically, a president of the United, I'm not aware of any president who has ever been indicted while sitting in office for a crime. I mean, I think from what I read, where this would be headed, if any wrongdoing is uncovered, then the House of Representatives might undertake impeachment.
Okay. Bill Otis, this has been very enlightening for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Georgetown Law Professor William Otis is a former federal prosecutor and a former special counsel for President George W. Bush, and he wrote an op-ed for USA Today, and you'll find a link to that on our page.
Looking for a new podcast? I'm Tracy Mumford, a producer for NPR News. I'm part of the team working on 74 Seconds. It's a new podcast that looks at the shooting death of Philando Castile by Officer Geronimo Yanez. It happened last summer in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. Yanez is now facing charges in Castile's death. 74 Seconds looks at what happened that night and what happens now when a police officer goes on trial. Reporters John Collins and Reham Fashir will walk you through this case as it unfolds. It's a story about race, policing, and justice in America. Subscribe to 74 Seconds wherever you get your podcasts.